Welcome to Wire's X Digital Fusion Room, Kansas City Y. It is also connected to the YSF reflector, US-KCY, and EchoLink, FH-L. Visit our webpage at kansascityy.com or Facebook page Kansas City Y.
Well, good evening to everybody that has checked into the Kansas City-wide system fusion network of repeaters in the Kansas City metro area. We've also got some nodes from outside, so it's kind of become more of a regional thing. I would like to welcome you all to another edition of our special event nets that we do from time to time. My name is Brad. My call sign is Kilo Bravo Zero Lima Sierra Mike, and I'll be the host, moderator, net control, if you will, for this evening's special event. Basically, what we're going to do, get a few housekeeping things out of the way, then we'll welcome in our guest. Again, a little bit later, towards the bottom of the hour, we'll take some check-ins from folks listening that would like to ask our guest a question. I do ask, when you do give your check-in, just key the mic for a second, 2 seconds, let everything come up, give your call sign, then wait about a second. That keeps down the inherent delays. Please don't do this. This is let it drop and then come back in. That just kind of compounds things. So how we're going to go tonight with our special guest, we're going to have a conversation with K0TCB, Chet Halberg. We're going to talk a little bit about history of ham radio in Kansas City. And then we're also going to talk about the Ham Bash that's coming up this Saturday. Chet's been involved in that over the years and can kind of give us the history of that and help promote Saturday's event. So, Chet, are you with us? K0TCB, K0TCB, KB0LSM. Are you there, Chet? Well, I heard Chet talking to myself a little while ago and to Larry of the East, so I don't know if Chet's having some issues. Let's try one more time. K0TCB, Chet, are you there? Well, let's go to Plan B, and maybe Chet will join us in just a few minutes. KC0FD, Larry, are you with us?
KC0FD is here in sunny Raytown. We're at 62 degrees. Good evening.
Oh, good evening, Larry. I don't know what happened to Chet, but how about if we go to you? My understanding is you're the chairman of this year's Ham Bash, and maybe we'll talk about the Ham Bash, and Chet can have figured out his technical issues and join us a little bit later. Would that be okay?
Absolutely. I don't know where he went to. I could give him a call if you want me to, but I'll do what I can.
Well, let's give him a few minutes and see if he can't get it figured out here. And let's just talk a little bit about the Ham Bash. Do I have that right? You're this year's chairman?
That's correct, Brad. I've chaired this for a couple of times now, but we're set up and ready to go. It's a near sellout table-wise. We've got the commercial guys are coming in, vendors and displays. Always going to be a good time.
Oh, good deal. I was able to, in fact, I just bought some tickets a little while ago, and I saw the notice on there that you're cutting off the online sales tomorrow. So I'll throw out, if you're going to pre-buy your tickets, plus it's a little bit cheaper to buy them online and then pick up at the will call window. And I also understand this is the 25th anniversary of the Ham Bash, and I know it got postponed due to the pandemic and stuff like that. But tell us a little bit, is there anything special going on to commemorate the 25th anniversary?
I'm going to have some background noise. If it's too much, let me know.
Oh, no, it's doing fine, and I appreciate you being a good sport and kind of doing this on the fly since you and I didn't get a chance to talk. So, again, is there anything special going on for the 25th anniversary?
Well, we've got a a plethora of things to give away this time, and we're going to have a really good concession stand. I know that you're not coming to the Ham Bash for concessions, but hey, you get hungry, you get thirsty, that kind of stuff, so the food should be real good. We've lined up a number of nice displays, including a Huey helicopter from that association to be out on the patio. Numerous displays and stuff to do in the various rooms to learn about things like digital and mesh and ARRL and things along that line. The Mocan Council of Clubs is going to have a good session. So we started this in October, so we've done everything we could to make it the very best.
Oh, that sounds good. How about a little bit of history of the event? When did it all get started? How long have you been involved?
Okay, K0TCB, I'm here.
Troll TCB just checked in, K6TBJ. Do you copy?
Okay, guys, hang on a second. We got all kinds of delays and stuff going on. And yes, Chet, I did hear you check in, and I'm gonna let Larry finish, and then we'll come back to you, Chet. Okay.
K0TCB. How do you use this thing? I push the button and talk. One on this event. He is the Ham Bash chairman. He's probably being a little modest, but he is taking care of all of the tables, all of the tickets, and he's going to take care of a lot of things on the day. K0TCB, take it away, Larry.
Well, actually, I think I should yield to Chet on this last question. Chet, the question was the history of the Ham Bash, and I think you're more knowledgeable than I am.
Yes, sir, I can answer that. The Ham Bash started in 1995. The Ham Bash was over at the National Guard Armory, and it was run by the Independence FM Association, a group of guys that got together and had the 9-4 repeater. Yeah, the 9-4 repeater, that's right. And when they folded up, I instigated that to try and take over that Ham Bash because we have a wonderful facility. So it's been going since then. In 1995, the Ham Bash started, and this would be, it would have been our 27th had we not had the COVID. K0TCB.
All right, thank you, Chet. And yeah, I was wondering when it actually got started. And then you guys have kind of intertwined it with, I'll say, the charitable side of the Shriners. Can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, sir. The Shriners have 26 hospitals for children, and what we're doing at the Ham Bash, we're raising as much money as we can, so we'd appreciate donations, buy as many tickets as you can, and the money is going to go to a good cause of the Shriners Children's Hospital. Part of it, not all of it, probably. We'll have to pay our rent and stuff. K0TCB.
Okay, that sounds good. And Larry of the West told me I had to ask you about the chili dogs and how that all got started and how the chili dogs became famous at the Ham Bash.
Did you ask Larry or did you ask me?
I was asking you, Chet.
Okay, very good. Well, the chili dogs were a matter of convenience. You know, it's not étouffé, it's not a complicated lunch, but you can cook the hot dogs, and we have this year, as Larry said, an excellent choice of food. He's got these roller-cooked all-beef wieners, and you can have a hot dog, and you can have chili dogs, and it's just a matter of convenience. We were having hot dogs one time, and somebody said, we want chili dogs. and they say, just brag about, oh, they're the best chili dogs in the world. And then biscuits and gravy for breakfast. How simple can it get, and how wonderful and wholesome can it be? Because you don't have to have eggs and bacon and all of the frying and cooking and a full kitchen. You got a pot of gravy and you got the biscuits, and you put it on there, and it's easy to fix, simple to prepare, and I think it's a standard for ham bashes, or ham fest. K0TCB.
Okay, yes, Larry Staples just told me, I had to ask you about that, because those chili dogs have become famous, and they're known, at least in this region, as one of the highlights of the ham bash. For those of you that have just come into the Kansas City-wide System Fusion network of repeaters, we're actually talking with Chet Halberg, K0TCB, and Larry, and I forgot Larry's last name, but he's also known as Larry of the East, KC0FD, about the upcoming ham bash on Saturday. And before I go back to Chet and start talking about some of the history and reminiscing a little bit of ham radio in Kansas City, this next question is for you, Larry, KC0FD. Can you tell us who the commercial vendors are going to be?
Why, yes. Let me bring it up here. We've got D&L Antennas will be here, and we have an embroider, which we've had several years in a row. Naturally Associated Radio will be here. Alpha Antenna will be here. In times past, we had W0BW from St. Joe, but Galen's getting up in years, and they didn't feel confident that they could make the endeavor safely, so we'll miss out on them. But we've got a lot of regular folks, this is not the commercial variety, but a lot of repeat folks, so folks you perhaps saw at previous ham bashes, they're going to be here. We've got some new names, too, but we do have an interesting visitor, and that's Peg Nichols. She's a local lady, and from she grew up with the Enzer family and has written several books, but she'll be pushing her book and hopefully signing autographs and that kind of stuff in there. So that's one extra bright star. And I don't want to leave the women out. This is not a vendor, but the ladies, I think they call themselves the Hamettes, the YL Club, will be doing some stuff there, too. Back to you.
Okay, thank you, Larry. Yes, I talked to Galen probably about a week or so ago, and he wanted me to also convey that he wished he could be down and join it, but like I said, due to some health concerns, but he said he would be there in spirit. So I know he'll be missed, him and Gene. So, and thanks for that. So again, if you guys have just checked into the Kansas City Wide Room System Fusion Network in the Kansas City Metro, and we're kind of even growing a little bit farther out, we're doing a special event net tonight. We've got two guests, K0TCB, Chet Halberg, and Larry, KC0FD, talking about the upcoming ham bash. And my name is Brad, call signs KB0LSM. I'm acting as the host or net control. And we'll kind of switch gears a little bit. I'm going to come back to Chet, and we're going to talk a little bit about history of ham radio. We did that with Larry Staples, WA0AIB, last week, and really found out some interesting things. And I think, Chet, we won't go back as far as we did with Larry of the West. You know, we started from birth and came forward. I don't think we need to go back that far. But let's just start with, Chet, when did you first get licensed? When did you first get into ham radio?
Oh, Brad, you kicked open the Pandora's box. I've been licensed for 62 years. I can go back before there were days of repeaters, days of computers, you know, something like that. And I'll tell you, ham radio has been absolutely beneficial to my life, my living that I have my vocation and avocation were the same for so many years, and I was happy in both. But I had my novice license, I had my tech license, I had my general license, and now I've got an extra license. So I've had them all, and enjoyed every bit of it. I mean, Lee Summit Radio Club, transmitter hunting on 10 meters AM back in the day, running a Keith Kit tenor with a super agility receiver, and all these guys in the parking lot with their sensitive antennas, and I would pull in, and they'd say, oh, get out of here. Go park over there, because they could hear my receiver. Oh, I got stories to tell, gobs of them. But my vocation, I had a second phone license for a commercial. And I had my amateur license. And as the fate would have it, I was working at Bendix as a maintenance electrician. And they needed somebody in the radio shop, because the guy that was the technician in the radio shop got promoted. So when they go down the list of people in the plant, whoa, here's an electrician we've already got in our department that we could, and he's got a license, okay. So it just fit. And I'm working with a ham, working for a ham. It's just perfect vocation. I could go on and on, but we don't need to.
No, you're doing fine, Chad. You're doing fine. That's got to be nice. I kind of got started similarly through emergency services, and then that kind of went in, you know, ham radio and emergency management and the emergency services side. So I understand what you said. That is nice when you can intertwine the two and kind of enjoy both. Then, like I said, you got started back before the repeaters and probably before there was a bunch of different clubs. What were some of the big clubs? I'm guessing the Kansas City VH Club, was that the big one back in the day before the repeaters?
Oh, yeah. Kansas City VHF Club. And Larry has still got the trustee of that call. The club is gone, but Larry still got the license. Oh, yeah. There was just a lot of stuff. Back in the day, we had transmitter hunts. We had the picnics, we had just so much family stuff. Field Day was a family event. I had a Rambler station wagon, the kids would sleep in the back, and we put their radios on the end gate. Of course, the kids loved it. They could run around and eat what they wanted, drink as much pop as they wanted, and they had fun. So it's a family thing. It's just socially and vocational benefits. I've made friends from one end of this country to the other. It's been a real blessing for me, and people that have their license, it's not all just about power supplies and learning code or anything like that. It is technical, yes, but it's such a family thing and such a social opportunity. And this ham bash is probably 80% social. The guys are going to come say, oh yeah, I'm going to be there. Well, they'll look at the tables, and maybe they'll buy something, and they'll listen to a presentation, but they can get with their buddies. And I've got a little scenario about what to see and do at the Ham Fest, so I would just play a little time lag type thing with your arrival. First, I want to tell you about the radio club, the Arrowhead Shrine Radio Club. And you do not be able to be a member of the radio club unless you are a Shriner. And we can fix that for you. We can get you to be a Mason, or you can promote yourself to be a Shriner, and then you can join our radio club. But the Arrowhead Radio Club has existed for many years. This is our 25th year for the Ham Bash, and we have a 2-meter repeater, 45.13, tone of 151.4. Everybody welcome. We have a UHF repeater, 443775 with a tone of 110.9. Everybody welcome. We have a golf cart, a bright yellow golf cart. And if you go to our webpage, ambash.us, you'll see the golf cart. And I'm proud to say I took that picture. And then we have an antenna tower trailer that the community has used. It's on a trailer. It's built on the trailer. It is the antenna tower. And it's a 40-foot crank-up tower on wheels. And then our meetings are the third Saturday every month at 10 o'clock in the morning. But we're very active in parades. Larry and I go on parades and have a lot of fun. K0TCB.
Okay, and talking about the Shrine Radio Club, was it last year I thought you guys were maybe going to have to possibly move and you got everything taken out of the Shrine building, and then now are you coming back? Are you actually getting your station and all that put back into the temple?
Yes, unfortunately, the buyer backed out with a financial problem or something, we don't know. But it was off, and we'd already tore down everything, all the antennas, and moved out and put stuff in storage, and then we were told that the deal didn't go through. So we're back to ground zero.
Okay, yeah, I was just wondering about a little bit of an update for that. So you started with the AM mobile stations, I guess we'll say, and then the FM with probably 6 meters, and then the VHF repeaters became popular. What would you say over your 60-plus years of being a ham radio operator has been one of the greatest advantages, or maybe even a disadvantage, just given the last couple of years where we've not been able to do those social activities that most ham clubs center some activities around? What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen, or maybe some of the challenges along the years?
Well, they're all positive. I don't know of any negative thing about ham radio that happened to me or that I was in the middle of. I enjoyed every bit of it. Lee Summit Radio Club, our 10-meter transmitter hunts. And I've been an officer club, been a treasurer for this club, and a president of this club at one time. And there's just been organizations that have benefited, that I have benefited from. Now, when I retired, I worked 30 years out there at the Bendix plant. In 1991, I went to work as a volunteer for the American Red Cross. And for 25 years, I traveled the country doing communications, worked myself into a manager position, running disaster operations, that communications part of it, radio, teletype, radio, and computers. And I've got a lot of stories to tell if you'd ever get me started about the things that I've done, the people I've met, and the things that I've seen in disasters, the floods or tornadoes, fires, something like that. And amateur radio was very important in all of the things that I did with the Red Cross. K0TCB.
What would, if you had to pick out one of those, I'll call them a deployment with the Red Cross, sticks out in your mind as far as maybe it was challenging communication setup-wise or just, a heartbreaking disaster that you went into? Does one in particular stick out?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it's 9/11. I spent 52 days on that up there in New Jersey and New York. I've been to Ground Zero, went to the Ellis Island, and yes, that would probably be the biggie for me.
Okay, and were there any challenges back then with setting up disaster communications for the Red Cross?
Absolutely, it was all dial-up telephone line computer, and when we put in a worker, we'd have to give them a line for telephone. We'd have to give them a line for the dial-up. It was all telephone, so we'd get in a 50-pair cable, and we'd wire it up ourselves. We'd have the telephone company bring us a D-mark, and then from there on into the building, we pulled in all of the wire, we hooked up all of the phones, hooked up all of the computers, and then we'd go on to the next job somewhere, traveling all over. I've been to Guam for Typhoon Omar. I've been to Puerto Rico, St. Croix, St. John, St. Thomas, for the hurricanes. Hurricane Hugo, I think, was my first hurricane down there. Your amateur radio, your technical skills, your things that you acquire. And besides that, I had a wife that had a general class license, so I had family backing as well. I was very fortunate. K0TCB.
It does sound like it. You were very fortunate. And in trying to do my homework for this, and I get tidbits about you, numerous people commented about just what a wonderful couple you and your wife were, and the tremendous support and I would even say experience that you guys over the years had given to the community there in Kansas City, the ham radio community. Did you have a particular Elmer or somebody, or was this just something in your younger days that you said you had your commercial license and your ham license, and how did some mentors or some Elmers work into that?
Well, I'm kind of uncomfortable talking about myself. They've heard enough about me. But anyway, my history in radio was through the Civil Air Patrol. I had a mentor, Milo Barnhart, out in Independence, and I joined the Independence Squadron in the Civil Air Patrol, became their communications officer at one time. And it just led to Bob Atkinson, who later was a field engineer, was also a mentor, and I just fell into the Civil Air Patrol and the radios, and then just get my novice ticket, and from there it grew, and I'm very grateful to my days of Civil Air Patrol.
Now, that was actually something that I did not know, and it did not come up in my research. I knew you had an affinity for aircraft and flying, but I didn't know that it was tied into the Civil Air Patrol. Is something like that even still active? Do you still take part and help? If I remember right, there's a squadron at the downtown airport. Is that correct?
Well, Civil Air Patrol is a wonderful organization, and I've been on a few of the search and rescues and things like that, and it was very interesting and very, very fulfilling to find and be able to help people. The Civil Air Patrol today ain't like it used to be. We had volunteer airplanes, we had volunteer ham radios to do the operating. Now the Air Force has pretty well taken over the management of the Civil Air Patrol. They don't use personal airplanes. They don't use personal radios. Everything is a government issue and is very much more organized than it used to be. K0TCB.
For those of you that have just checked into the Kansas City-wide System Fusion Network of repeaters, we're talking to some special guests for a special event net that we're having tonight. We're talking to K0TCB, Chet Halberg, and we're kind of reminiscing a little bit about some history and his involvement in ham radio throughout the years. We're also talking about the upcoming ham bash on Saturday. My call sign is KB0LSM. I'm acting as the host or net control for this evening. Now, Chet, I first kind of became acquainted with you on the morning drive into Kansas City, where you kind of do a loose net, or I don't even know that you want to call it a net. You give out horoscopes and just chit-chat with people. In fact, I think I remember for a period of time there was a discussion about Swedish eggs or something that went on for several months as far as the topic being breakfast. How did all that get started? Was that just something you decided to do?
Yeah, I don't know how long I've been doing it, and I don't know why I'm doing it, except it just started and it just kept going. Now, I do horoscopes from about 6 to 9 every morning for people going to work, how many stars they have, and some good advice. You know, don't spend too much money. Be nice to everybody. What you learned in kindergarten, play fair and share, and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, we do. And when you get to it, I want to tell you about what to do at the ham bash, what to see and do. If you could walk in the door, I'll take you on a little guided tour.
All right, well, let's do it. Give the guided tour.
Oh, my gosh. You're just giving me so much liberty here. Okay, the ham bash is 5100 Arrowhead Drive at the Shrine Temple. Come on in on 435 on the east side of town. Get off at Westwood Traffic Way and go to the light and turn right up the hill to the temple. And the doors open at 8 o'clock. Okay, here's our straw man walking through the door at 8 o'clock. Breakfast. some of the best biscuits and gravy, coffee and juice that you'll ever have anywhere. And you'll sit at a table for eight, and there'll be all of your buddies, everybody around, and it's going to be a busy breakfast. And then when you get done with that, you'll go into the auditorium. You go past the Elmer's table. You go past the ARL table. There's all kinds of things going on in the patio room, but you'll go into the main auditorium, which is Bennett Auditorium. Okay, Larry has sold almost all of those tables, and they're all full of enthusiastic sellers. And if you run out of money, we can fix that because we've got an ATM machine that will fill your pocketbook back up again. But you'll take a lap through and look and see, oh, there's something I've been wanting to find, and it's reasonable. I can't pass it up. That sort of thing, of a treasure island of tables and things and friendly salespeople. They're just hams that are there to sell stuff or to show stuff. There's going to be show and tell for transmitter hunts, show and tell for man building a linear. Anyway, you go through there and you look at those tables, and then you head upstairs. And there's, after you see the Associated and Antenna, the D&L and all of the commercial vendors while you're doing your work down on the floor. You go upstairs, and there's presentations up there. And room one, there's five rooms up there. Room one is the main presentation room. And we have presentations starting at 8:30. All right, where did I... Here we go. Okay, Herb Fettig, which, as you know, is Mr. Public Service, is going to give his talk from 8:30 to 9:10 in room one upstairs. So hop on up there and listen to Herb and put your support into public service events. Can't emphasize enough that public service events and ham radio and willing workers and volunteers are priceless. And that reminds me, they don't pay volunteers because they're worthless. They don't pay them because they're priceless. Okay, Herb has got until 9 o'clock, 9:10. The ARL has a session from 9:10 to 9:55. And I did hear some disturbing news today that our Midwest Division Director, Abe Schirchenbaum, has contacted COVID. So he won't be there, but we have a vice director that comes out of University City. We have the SCM, the section communication manager for Kansas, and the section communication manager for Missouri that will be there to answer your questions and conduct an information session of Meet the Staff. So if you want to know these people, go up and shake their hand. At 10 o'clock to 10:40, the same room here now, we're just going into room one. You may not stay for all of these. Jerry, W0ZXH, otherwise known as Manny, has him session on MESH. M-E-S-H. I don't know what that stands for, but it's an internet-type capability without internet, using radio. And then he'll also speak about Larry's List, because he is the webmaster for Larry's List. And Larry's List will have a table down in the patio room, and Larry will be there to shake his hand, too. At 10:45 to 11:30 is Neil Preston, and he's going to talk to you about digital. All digital. What in the heck is FL Digi? What in the heck is all of these other stuff that people are throwing? Fusion, what the heck's that? What's DMR? So that should be a fantastic informational session with Neil Preston, who's quite knowledgeable about these sort of things. K0TCB.
Okay, Chet, so that was room one. Now, what's going on in the other two, three, four, and five?
Oh, you're my kind of man. You're just pumping it out of me, aren't you? Well, it'll be brunch time. Hot dog, chili dogs, nachos, soda pop. Yeah. You go down and get some food because you need to take a break and rest a bit and talk with your friends. Well, while you're upstairs, the VE testing was going on. Now, those of you that need to be tested, Norma and Ted Hatfield will be doing the testing, and they'll start at 9 o'clock and run till nobody else needs to be tested. they're not going to stay till 7 o'clock at night, but anyway, you get the idea. They're more than accommodating. And on our webpage, if you look, let's see, here's on the flyer, what to bring to the testing session. But they'll be in what they call the Sultan's Lounge up on the mezzanine, and there's an elevator available at the front of the building to get up to the mezzanine level, or there's three sets of stairs to get up to the mezzanine level. And we're going to have our Midwest director, which is unfortunate. He thinks maybe he could be there, but I doubt it. The vice director, the section communication manager, and all of that kind of stuff is going to be up there. And then you're going to go on the outside patio displays. Oh boy, you're back downstairs now, and you're going outdoors to the outdoor patio. And what are you going to find? Vietnam Huey helicopter. I've not seen it, but someone told me that it had bullet holes in it. I don't know. And then, of course, the Vietnam Veterans Chapter has a web page, and you can go there and see all about it. I've got that web page address if anybody needs it. And then the storm chasers, not the storm watchers or the storm monitors, but the guys who drive into the tornado will be there with their vehicles, and hopefully there'll be about three of them. And you'll see what they use for equipment, what they use for communications. And there's a storm chasers, it's called severestorms.com, that you can go and see these storm chasers, and it's quite an operation. And you'll get to see them and look at their communications. Lee Ward will have his communications trailer out there. It's a military-looking thing I call his war wagon. KB0VZ. Come in from Warrensburg and have his trailer out there. Salvation Army is going to have their communications vehicle out there. And that takes care of the showings. In the patio room, there will be Mars, there will be Red Cross, there will be Salvation Army, there will be Larry's List, there will be Shrine Membership, there will be Shrine Transportation. What we do, move the children to the hospital in St. Louis is the one that we patronize. So from Kansas City to St. Louis, all along I-70, we run a van and pick up parents and their kids to go down to St. Louis Hospital. And they go make quite a bit, few trips. Also, they fly people to where they need to go. I can tell you a personal story about that, but we'll skip that for the moment. But in the patio room where you sit and have your breakfast or wherever, but the MECC restaurant area is going to have a meeting, and these are meetings. In the restaurant area, the MECC is going to meet Matt May. The Metropolitan Council of Clubs in Room B on the mezzanine, Randy Schultz. Mars will have a table in the patio room, and they perhaps will have a meeting. And the YL groups of Lady Hams will have a table. There'll be so much information and separate tables out on the floor. And I can't help but mention the prizes. All day long we'll have prizes, and then the grand prize, a brand new, never before seen by anybody, the Yaesu 200. So they got an FTM 200, 300, and 400. Yeehaw! T0, T0.
Oh my gosh, that's talk about information overload, and I don't know, you guys might have to run past 1 o'clock. Those guys that are just checking into the Kansas City Wide Room wondering what the heck is going on, we're having a special event net, and our guest is K0TCB, Chet Halberg, and KC0FD, who is one of the chairmen for the Ham Bash that's going on this Saturday over at the Ararat Shrine. And then we kind of reminisced just a little bit, talking about ham radio and going back before there was a bunch of repeaters everywhere and all that kind of good stuff. And one thing, Chet, before we open it up and let some folks ask you some questions, I know it's meant an awful lot to you, ham radio, and being involved not only in your work life but in your as a hobby and also in public service. What piece of advice would you give that newly licensed technician starting out today? What would you advise, and how would you help shape and guide them for the future?
If someone has the slightest interest in electronics or radios, It's never been easier than it is now to get your amateur license. There's no code exam. That kept a lot of people back. The hams do their own examining. We have volunteer examiners. You don't go to the FCC like you used to. We have a book, or several books, or videos, or web pages of the test. And this is a government multi-choice test that you get the book and open it up, and it's the exact question, exact answer, and the explanation of that answer. Yes, you have to do some studying. Yes, you do have to do some memorizing. But it's so minimal compared to having to go to the FCC back in the good old days. Actually, these are the good old days. And you had to draw circuits. You had to say, draw me a Colpitts oscillator. Draw me a full-wave power supply. And then give me, come here and I'll give you 13 words a minute code test. If you pass that, then if you wait a week or two, we'll probably send you a license. So now it's not that way. You can almost get your license overnight. K0TCB.
Okay, thank you, Chet. And Larry, are you still with us? KC0FD, do you have anything to add before we open it up to some other questions?
The only thing was a correction for one of the meetings at the MOCAN Council of Clubs. That's all. Back to you.
Okay, thank you, Larry. We've got about 15 minutes left here, taking up these guys' evening time. So let's take a few check-ins, and how we'll do that is I'll take a few check-ins, and then I'll come back to you individually to ask your question of either Larry or Chet. So if you have a question that you would like answered, please call now, KB0LSN. Uh-oh, I guess maybe that means we've probably covered just about everything or answered a lot of the questions. Chet, I'm going to come back to you. One of the things, I'll consider myself kind of an outsider since I live up in St. Joe and then communicate down, but all the activities, whether it was at the World War I Museum when we got to come down and operate there or any other time that our club has came down, we've just been welcomed. We've just been invited. The same thing, it seems like all the clubs in the Kansas City Metro come together for certain events and things like that. Can you talk about the history of some of the clubs and how they're kind of intermingled, if that's a good question?
Okay, yeah. Back, if you go back to the 50s, they only had one repeater in town. That was 14694. So everybody used it. Everybody got acquainted. When I was a novice, we had sessions on the air. The Kansas City VHF Club was one of the early clubs. And, of course, the Heart of America Radio Club is the oldest club west of the Mississippi. And it's been in business now, and it's still, they have their net on this repeater at 9 o'clock on Thursday night. The Kansas City Amateur, Kansas City Amateur Radio Club. I've been in, Lee Summit Radio Club in the 50s, out in, met out at Lee Summit. There was a lot of Bendix employees and Lee Summit hams that made the Lee Summit Radio Club. I had the Kansas City Amateur Radio Club, and we would trade transmitter hunting on 10 meters. One Saturday, we'd meet at the flagpole at the Lee Summit High School. The next Saturday, we'd meet at the flagpole in Swope Park, and they were on a 28, and we were on 29 meg. That was just a family type affair that was really fun. So the Kansas City Arcs were a club that was very busy. The VHF Club, at one time, I think had close to 100 members. It was really up and going. Red Cross and the Kansas City Heart of America Radio Club were intermingled, and they still are. It's part of the Red Cross here in town. Oh, there was clubs in Grandview, the Belton Club, the Southside Amateur Radio Club, and then, of course, North, the PhD Radio Club. Oh, my, Chuck Miller and the Spam Fest and Ham Fest that he had. At one time rented the Municipal Auditorium, had it down at the Municipal Airport, had it over at the North Kansas City Convention Center, It was really a big one. And they put out a call book with all our calls in it and phone numbers. And there's no internet. We just had to print a page and tell you who we were. K0TCB.
Oh, my gosh. Written out the Municipal Auditorium. Wow. That must have been a big ham bash. Was that late 60s, early 70s? Is that the time frame we were in?
Yeah, maybe even before the 60s. Could have been in the 50s. One time we had a booth down at the Municipal Auditorium during the home show. And we wanted to put up an antenna, so we took an antenna, a fan dipole, on the roof of the Municipal Auditorium. I can't believe we did this. And brought the coax down to our, probably a DX100 or, I don't know, an AM radio on HF. And we talked to people. We had the radiogram. We talked to them how wonderful amateur radio is. And we wanted them to fill out one of the radiograms so we could send it back home. You know, we're at the home show, having a good time, wish you were here. We just sent out hundreds of those. That was so much fun. And we had the emergency communications. Lord, I was EC for the four-county area with the ARL Aries at one time. So it just all had grown and gotten organized, and it's just wonderful today. That's what I say. These. Appreciate these. And the place that you are in this community is such a valuable place. It's of such fellowship and pride of amateur radio here in the Kansas City area.
Oh my gosh. So before I ask you about the story that you wanted to tell, we'll kind of end on that. But since you were so involved in the public service and emergency communications, then did you separate out the hobby side, or is that what's going on now? When you go to operate, whether it's HF or here on the repeaters, what do you enjoy the most now, since you're not as active with the emergency management and the emergency communications?
Well, the radio club, the Shrine Radio Club, and the Shrine Hospitals, and the work that the Shriners do is my main motivation to carry out the mission, not just for Red Cross. I'm also obligated to that organization, very proud to still be a member of the communications team at the Red Cross. Larry Widener and Merritt Merkison, those are great guys, John, WK0RES. The Red Cross, the Shrine means something very, very special. Let me share a personal moment here. I had a 10-year-old boy that was burned and died from gasoline fire at home. What he had done is the cat had made a pile in the garage, and he took it outside and was going to incinerate it, and it got away from him. He ran through the yard, and we took him by ambulance, and the Shriners were there the next day saying, "Don't worry about the money, don't worry about the expense, don't worry about anything. We'll take this boy and we'll take him to Galveston and the Burn Institute, and we'll work on him and take care of him for you." Well, he didn't live that long. He lived 2 or 3 days. But they were there, and that's what they do today. And that's why I do my Shrine work.
Well, Chet, thank you for sharing that. It is funny how life events shape the direction that we go and increase our involvement. And kind of on that same note, over the years, how much money has the Ham Bash raised for the Shriners to do their mission to get these sick or injured children to care, to where their parents don't have to worry about the costs and things like that?
Okay, we heard you, Larry. In the last two ham bashes that we had, 2018 and 2019, I guess, because 2020 and 2021 did not happen. But an interesting thing about Ham Bash 2020, which was canceled, we started work on this thing in November, December, and selling tickets and selling tables. And when it got canceled in 3 months later, we had all this money and obligations and we wanted to return it. Well, we sent over $400 and some to the hospitals from a ham bash profit that we didn't have a ham bash. People said, oh, I've rented a table, just keep it and send it to the kids. So that's the community spirit that we've got here.
Oh my gosh, that is just awesome. Larry, KC0FD, did you have a final comment?
No, nothing special, but I would like Chet to relay that the 2019 effort to send money to the hospitals was really good, because we had some matching funds, and so they wound up being able to send $7,000 to the hospital, half that being the proceeds from the ham bash. So that was a really good year also. Other than that, just because you didn't have it, my last name is Gianello. It's an Italian name. And I got into the shrine. I heard this little old man on the radio saying he was going to go do something with a trailer, or actually with a camper in a cave. And I offered to help him, and now 6 or 7 years later, here we are together. So Chet's a good mentor. I certainly appreciate him, and I love being in the community. I'm going to go ahead and close. KC0FD, Kilo Charlie Zero, Foxtrot Delta.
Thank you very much, Larry. And yeah, I was trying to get you up on QRZ so I could get your last name, but I appreciate it. And thank you for being such a good sport there in the very beginning, and being there and kind of being a standby while we got some things worked out. So, Chet, we've got about 4 minutes left. I'll give it back to you for any closing anecdotes, comments, challenges you want to throw out there besides bring your money and come see you on Saturday.
Okay, the last two ham bashes that we had, 2018, I guess, 2017, 2019, I don't know. The last two that were full ham bashes, we raised $3,500 to send to the hospitals, and we waited until the moment that they had an anonymous donor that would match those funds. So for those 2 years, we spent $7,000, if you will, for 2 years to the hospitals. So the ham bash is very successful. Everybody loves the ham bash, and we look forward to having a good one this year. We've already sold out a few of the tables, so it's going to be a good group. We've got a lot of stuff for them to do. I think that's what you asked me the question. I did hear Larry W0AIB pipe in there. Maybe he's got something to add to this. K0TCB.
Yeah, this is W0AIB. Am I coming through? Okay.
Yes, you are, Larry. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Thanks, Rod. Chet, can you say a word about the Missouri traffic net and the part that your extremely gracious wife, Mary Jo, played in all that? Over.
Well, yes, I'd be glad to. Back in the 1950s, 60s, well, let's see, I was, yeah, licensed about 1960, so it wouldn't have been in the 50s. We had a lot of activities that were going on, and we were in the 75-meter Missouri sideband net. Oh, gosh, W0OMM and her husband, they were the managers of that net. And we passed traffic. Mary Jo earned BPL, over 500 messages a month. And most of them were military, arrive safely, we'll talk to you soon. But we were passing radiogram messages in a big network that was enormous. And I was manager of that net for a while. And then there was an interstate sideband net, which was up on 3990. That was a big-time nationwide 75-meter national traffic system net. and I was net control for that, and so was Mary Jo. We were very active into that back in the 60s. Let's see, from, 61 to 71 in that 10-year period, something like that. We lived in Missouri over on Hillcrest, and it was wonderful. Just absolutely. Mary Jo got in the Air Force Mars. No, Navy Mars. She got in the Navy Mars. N0UXC was her call. Even had a fellow come and write a little book about her. And then I got into Air Force Mars, and I was AF0TCD. And we've just been there, done that.
Oh my gosh, that was that was something, and especially having a spouse that was licensed and enjoyed the hobby with you as well. Oh my gosh, that is remarkable. Well, we're down to about the last minute, so I will let you, Chet, kind of close it out, and any last words before Saturday?
Well, enjoy life, enjoy your radio, and do good and have fun, but be of public service. Public service is really where ham radio is needed, that is useful, that is appreciated. Get your radio, your handy talkie or whatever, and get into the public service. If you listen to Herb Pittick, he won't lead you astray. Thank you for everything. I feel a little self-conscious about talking about Chet, but you forced me to do it, and I could go on all night. Every talk about other activities and other things and other organizations, I'm sure. So thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to advertise ham radio a little bit. I think everybody should be a ham, and we should all be salesmen for when we meet someone. You're a ham? Oh, yes. Would you like to become one? You know, pass the torch. T0TCB. Good night.
Well, thank you, Chet. You've been a wonderful host, and you've given me some ideas. Maybe on down the road we can do another special event, maybe focus in on the Red Cross activities or some of your other adventures over the years. We'll talk about that in person. Also, I would like to thank, I'll call him, well, it's Larry of the East, KC0FD. I'm not going to try the last name because I know I'll butcher it. Thank you again. You were a great sport in being there and helping us out in the beginning. And, of course, Larry of the West, W0AIB. Thanks for joining us there at the tail end. My name is Brad. I've been your host or net control for a special event here on the Kansas City Wide System Fusion Network. The call sign is KB0LSM. Wishing everybody 73s and have a good night.